Lord's Day 36. We'll be reading from that in just a moment. But first, let's read from our text in Philippians chapter 2. And Philippians chapter 2 here magnifies the greatness of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ not only reveals the Father to us, He was perfect in bringing glory to the name of God, but He has also received the name above all names. So we as Christians are called to glorify the name and praise the name of Jesus Christ. So Philippians chapter 2, we're going to be reading the first 11 verses, and that's found on page 1139. Philippians chapter 2, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And here in verse 11, you see the way in which God brings glory to himself, the way in which the Father brings glory to his name is in the acknowledgement and praising of the name of Jesus Christ. And that's where we're going to be looking at the third commandment, in which we are called to keep the name of our Lord holy and to hold His name with reverence and honor. Let's now read in the back of our songbooks from Lord's Day 36. We're going to begin our practice again of responsive reading. So if you'd like to turn in the back of your songbooks, this is page 890. I'll ask the question and we'll respond together with the answer. Lord's Day 39, this is question and answer 99. The question is asked of us, what is God's will for us in the third commandment? And the answer is that we neither blaspheme nor misuse the name of God by cursing, perjury, or unnecessary oaths, nor share in such horrible sins by being silent bystanders. In summary, we must use the holy name of God only with reverence and awe, so that we may properly confess Him, call upon Him, and praise Him in everything we do and say. And the question and answer 100, is blasphemy of God's name by swearing and cursing really such a serious sin that God is angry also with those who do not do all they can to help prevent and forbid it? The answer is yes, indeed. No sin is greater or provokes God's wrath more than blaspheming His name. That is why He commanded it to be punished with death. And that's as far as reading in the Catechism. May the Lord add the blessing of His increase on the preaching of His Word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how important is a name? How important is your name? Children, let me ask this question of you. How do you feel when your name is forgotten? Or perhaps when someone calls you a mean hurtful name. Well, when it comes to our names, we are identified with our names. When it comes to the name of the Lord reveals Himself to us and reveals something about Himself when He gives us His name. We saw this morning when the Israelites finally saw the Lord's mighty hand, they were forced to acknowledge the Lord, He is God. As the Lord reveals himself to his people, he desires, he delights, he demands that his people acknowledge him. And the way that we acknowledge him is by confessing his name and praising his name, as Moses requested back in Exodus chapter 3. The Lord reveals himself as the God who is Yahweh, the Lord God, the Lord of hosts, the mighty God who is and who was and who is to come, as the book of Revelation starts. As we continue our series through the Ten Commandments, we started a few weeks back by looking in the first commandment by the fact that there is only one God. And since there is only one God, we are to worship that one God. 2 weeks back, we saw that not only are we to worship that one God, we are to worship that one God rightly. The manner or the way in which we approach God, the way in which we worship him, is also important. God not only wants us worshiping him alone, he wants us to worship him alone properly. This week, we move beyond the who and the how of worship to the name of the one that we worship. Specifically, we're going to see that the name reflects what we think of God. It is a privilege that we have as Christians, a privilege that we have as the Church of Jesus Christ, to know God, to be called by his name. And perhaps, children, you've never thought about it this way, but when you are baptized, you are baptized into the singular name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The name of God is placed upon his people. God has put his name upon us. He identified us as his, and therefore we are called to identify ourselves in how we respond and use the name of our God. We consider this theme, that Jesus Christ is given the name above every name so that we might know and call upon God rightly. Jesus Christ is given as the name above every name so that in our understanding, in our reception, in our praise of the name of Jesus, the Father is receiving the praise that he deserves. The third commandment reads, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God." And as we have in the past a few weeks, our first point is going to look at a historical example when that name was not revered. Then we're going to, in our second point, deal with the negative, how that name has not, how we are tempted or how we break this commandment. And then the third point, how we are to properly use the name of the Lord. The Lord said to Aaron, "I will be sanctified before the people." He said that when his own sons had been struck down, the Lord says to Aaron, "I will be sanctified. My name will be upheld in the sight of my people." So as we start in our first point, we consider the question, who reveals God to us? How can we approach God? And how important is the name of the Lord? In our first point, then, we look at the historical example of when God's name was being misused. Leviticus 24 may not be the most well-known historical example. It's given to us as a specific case law of what the Israelites were supposed to do when the name of the Lord was not revered. The third commandment had been given all the way back in Exodus chapter 20. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. But when we come to Leviticus 24, which we read a few minutes ago, you find a different context. There's two men that are fighting, and in the course of their fighting, the one who has an Egyptian parent and an Israelite parent misuses and curses the name of the Lord. Now, the particular of these events pose a problem to the Israelites. It's not a question of whether or not this commandment has been broken, but the question is, what is the penalty, and is it to be applied to someone who is a foreign-born or considered an Egyptian, one who is not a full-blooded Israelite? So the sin that this particular man committed, remember he had one parent who was an Israelite and one parent who is an Egyptian. Evidently, the Egyptian blood runs strong in his veins. He does not identify the greatness of the God of Israel. So what he does in the course of his fight or his argument with this other Israelite is to curse and blaspheme. So to blaspheme means that you are considering a name that should be upheld as holy, as something which is insignificant and unimportant. It would be like dragging something which is precious and clean and worth significant value through the mud, treating it like nothing. But worse than that, he adds to blasphemy a curse. So he makes a bold statement of mockery. Not only considering the name of the Lord as insignificant, he pronounces a curse on the name of the Lord, using the name lightly and positively ridiculing the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the covenantal name that this particular Egyptian man misuses. It is not the general name for God, which we tend to use. It is the covenantal name, Yahweh, or the Lord, as it's translated in our English versions. So it's this covenantal name that holds in the name the identity of the people and the close connection that God has for and with his people. In identifying himself as the Lord, the covenantal God, he's saying, you are my people. You are my special, treasured, prized possession. You are the apple of my eye. I not only created you, that is the word for the creator, sovereign God, is Elohim. That is the mighty, powerful one. That's not the name that is blasphemed. It is the covenantal name, the redeeming, loving, saving name that is ridiculed in these verses. So after these two men are fighting, which is instructive in itself, the context for the cursing and blasphemy that takes place in our passage from Leviticus is during an argument. It's during a fight. How often isn't that true of human nature? In the midst of conflict and struggle, when our anger clouds our mind, our tempers rise, and we say things we know we should not say. We say things when we are angry and we feel threatened. So the Catechism rightly says, in question answer 100, that no, God says that this sin is very serious. In fact, no sin is greater. God will not hold him guiltless who misuses his name. It's not murder. It's not adultery or theft. But cursing, blasphemy, which is identified as the most heinous sin because it is an attack on God and his reputation himself. God's anger is roused the quickest, his wrath kindled the fastest when his name is dragged through the mud. That is why God prescribes back in Leviticus that this particular man is to be stoned to death. He is to be killed. It is a capital offense in Old Testament Israel. Now, that is not to say that we should apply the capital offense today to everyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord, but this fact simply proves, beyond the shadow of a doubt, words matter. The name of God matters. What you say about God, what you say in the context of his name, how you use his name in worship, how you revere him, God takes incredibly seriously. How serious? He demands the blood of this man because God's name is holy and he will be revered among the community of his people. So then, if this command is so serious, how do we see it broken today? In what ways do we, in our daily living, in our lives, being in this world but not of this world, how do we see this commandment being broken on a weekly basis? Well, as we read earlier in the Catechism, God's will for us in the third commandment is, as question answer 99 starts, that we neither blaspheme nor misuse the name of the Lord by cursing, perjury, or unnecessary oaths. This would be the more visible and obvious way in which God's name is blasphemed in our context today. How often don't we see it? Don't we hear it? when we are watching the TV or listening to the radio or even in the conversations that we have with other people, that God's name is despised, that God's name is used with such slander and complete disregard. Although in our context, in our day and age, cursing usually comes from a heart of ignorance, that does not mean it is excusable. Because to take the name of the Lord or any of the names that He has revealed Himself by, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the name of Jesus Christ, in calling upon God in a manner that treats His name as insignificant, unimportant, perhaps using the name of God as a filler or as an exclamation point, or asking God to condemn something, it's saying something false about God. It's treating the name of God, which should be the most revered name above all names, as if it is insignificant and unimportant. When we attribute holiness to something that is not holy, we are taking what should be reserved for God and applying it to something else. But even Christians can break this commandment. When a Christian uses the name of God in an unfitting, unholy way, sometimes even in worship, we find ourselves breaking this commandment. If we use the name of God with repetition in our reciting, without consideration, without thought, without proper due respect, we also break this commandment. We can break this commandment even when we are praying or when we are singing. If we are calling upon the name of God without care, without thought, without meaning, we are misusing the name of God. So not only is this commandment broken, as we see in the world every single day when people use the name of God or the name of Jesus as an exclamation point or to prove something that they are angry or whatever reason it might be. When God's people gather together as a church and we don't revere God properly when we are singing, when we don't mean what we pray, and we simply recite the words. How often haven't we all sang about God's holiness while thinking about what we're going to be doing tomorrow? How often haven't we in our prayers called upon the name of the Lord while our thoughts are on the last movie that we were watching? In these ways, we are also demeaning the name of God. We are not upholding His name with all due reverence and honor. But question and answer 99 then concludes with one more aspect. Not only are we to refuse to blaspheme or misuse the name of God by cursing or perjury or unnecessary oaths, it says we're also not to share in these horrible sins by being silent bystanders. Those who are called by the name of the Lord, those who are Christians, will commit themselves to doing everything in their power with all due wisdom and discretion to see to it that the name of the Lord is praised. That may mean that we turn off a particular TV show if we know that this particular actor on the stage is prone to misuse the name of the Lord. We don't put that in our own hearing. We turn it off. It may mean as much as possible. We can speak up if we have a particular close relationship. We don't cast our pearls before swine. But if we have an opportunity, if someone we have a relationship with that misuses the name of the Lord, we can educate them, letting them know that the name of our God is holy and should be used with reverence and respect. But it may also surprise you that the manner in which you speak to other people can also fall under this commandment. In James 3, James puts it this way. We should never use the lips that we praise God with to slander or curse fellow man who is made in God's image. It should never be that the same lips that are in church on Sunday singing praise to God on Monday is cursing and swearing and demeaning fellow man created, a man created in the image of God. So what you do with your speech, even outside of church, no longer in the context of public worship, how you speak to and about fellow man as image bearers of God reflect what you think about God. But we can even take it one more step. Titus chapter 1 and 2 puts it this way. When you live an ungodly life, you are giving unbelievers an opportunity to revile the name of God. That when you live an ungodly life in your community, in your work setting, in your hobbies, if you live an ungodly, unholy life, the unbeliever looks at your life and deduces, thinks wrong thoughts about your God. God's name is slandered when God's people aren't holy. That's what Titus 1 and 2 says. So when it comes to the third commandment, it has in view our speech and our actions must reflect the one to whom we belong. No matter where we are, what we say or what we do must reflect the holiness of the God whom we call upon. All of this is to say, as Christians, we are to be known as those people who live such decent, holy, godly, chaste, upright lives and speak with such innocent, cheerful, grace-filled, salt-seasoned words that others see our good deeds and hear our gracious words and give glory to God instead of slandering His name because of the sins that we do in our speech and with our words. And that brings us to our last point, which is in keeping this commandment. So if we are to avoid cursing, blasphemy, if we are to avoid living unholy and speaking ungodly words, we are to commit ourselves to living and speaking in such a way that reflects the one by whose name we are called. Most of the names in the Bible, when God reveals himself, he's revealing something about himself when the name that he gives. Jehovah, Jireh, it's the fact that the Lord is the God who saves. The Lord of hosts talks about the fact that he's mighty and powerful. The name of Jesus means that he saves from sins. The name of our Father, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Father has compassion upon us. God reveals something about himself in the names that he gives us and the names he reveals about himself. The great God who is the I Am, the God of existence and the God of the covenant. Since God reveals himself to us in his name, we as his people will be most concerned with his reputation, the use of his name, how we speak to and about God will be done with fear, reverence, awe, and respect. His reputation is what we are concerned with. This work of revealing God to us is what Jesus Christ has come to do. Jesus Christ came. This is in John 17. It's high priestly prayer. Jesus says, I have revealed you, my heavenly Father, to my people, and I have upheld the holiness of your name. Jesus, at the end of his life, says, my life's purpose was to reveal the holiness of the name of God and to reveal that holiness to his people by way of his obedience and submission. He says, I have glorified your name. We read earlier from Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus Christ, by way of his obedience, by way of his being humbled, obedient to death on the cross. Therefore God, this is Philippians 2 verse 9, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name. The name of Jesus is the name that the Father has given to man, which is the highest name, the highest form of honor and glory that we can give to the Father is by glorifying the name of Jesus Christ, his Son. The way in which we bring praise to the Father is by praising the Son. It is very instructive that in 1 John 2, the work of the Antichrist is to deny that Jesus is the Christ. The work of the Antichrist in our world is to demean, diminish, slander, to heap scorn on the name of Jesus Christ. That is the work of the Antichrist. Therefore, it must be the work of a Christian to exalt, glorify, praise, and confess the name of Jesus as the name that deserves all praise. And in fact, it is at the name of Jesus that every knee will bow and every tongue confess to the praise of God's glory. We have the honor as a Christian to know the name of Jesus, to approach the Father through Jesus, and to be called by the name of Christ. We are Christians. As Christians, we bear the name of Christ. The way in which we can commit ourselves to keeping this commandment is by giving Jesus Christ the praise he deserves and worshiping the Father through the Son, to approaching the Father through his appointed mediator, Jesus Christ our Lord. We'll use the name of God with fear and reverence and awe, seeing him as glorious and mighty and worthy of praise. We'll confess what is true about his name and confess his name freely. We are, as Christians, to love the truth and speak it openly. Matthew 10, verse 32. If we confess his name before others, Jesus will confess our name before his Father. If we confess the name of Jesus before men, if we praise the name of Jesus before men, Jesus will confess our name before his Heavenly Father in glory. So the way that we are to commit ourselves to positively keeping this commandment is not by ignoring the name of Jesus, not by ignoring the name of God, but by using it properly, confessing what is true, believing in our heart and confessing with the mouth that Jesus Christ has been sent from the Father, he has been raised, he has been exalted, and is right now seated at his Father's right hand. So when we pray to him, acknowledge what you are saying in your prayer. And when you sing about the name of God, remember the God whose name you sing. To give God the glory is to acknowledge his worth, his weight, his majesty. That's what worship is. Acknowledging the worth, the weight, the majesty, the greatness of our God. Using his name with all the fear, reverence, and awe that he deserves. Let me illustrate this point very briefly before we conclude. God's name is to be seen and used by us like fine china and not like plastic. When we have plastic bowls, we set them before our young children, knowing that they're going to be beaten on, thrown, dropped, spilled. That's not how we use the name of God. We use the name of God like fine china. We treat it as something of worth, of significance, of value, because God's name has great value. Indeed, his name is above all names. To conclude, since the name of the Lord reveals who the Lord is and what works he has performed, we as his people will commit ourselves to upholding his name and using it properly. Psalm 148 puts it this way, let them praise the name of the Lord. Psalm 99 verse 3, let them praise your great and awesome name. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14, if my people those who are called by my name would humble themselves, pray and seek my face. I would hear them from heaven, I would forgive their sins, and I would heal their land. Not only is there great judgment promised if you misuse the name of the Lord, there is great blessing promised when you use his name rightly. So when we hear the name of the Lord our God, let's remember the God who revealed himself to us. And when we come to praise our God together, let's rejoice that Jesus Christ has been given to us and his name revealed, that we might know the name of Jesus, confess the name of Jesus, and find life in his name. The Lord God is holy. He is the God who is, the God of the covenant, the Lord of hosts. Therefore, do not misuse his name, but use it with fear and reverence. Worship him alone. Revere his name, for he is holy. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, which reminds us of the greatness of your name. May we bring glory to your name, Almighty God, through Jesus Christ, your Son. May our worship be pleasing and acceptable in your sight because we offer it to you through Jesus Christ, and we sing and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.